chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We're going to study about Cain and Abel. And don't worry, I can't cover all of this. I can't cover all this in one lesson, so I won't try. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Notice he came first. He came first. Showing that he was actually more religious than Abel. Abel also came. He brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. So he's talking about the best of it. If you look at that fat in the Bible like that, oftentimes refers to the best, the fat of the land and so forth. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell, because God didn't accept it. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Father, we thank you today for the Bible, and we ask you please to open our understanding by the power of your Holy Spirit, who will guide us and teach us that we may understand what we're studying here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, several things just commenting in general about what you've read there. What's wrong with Cain's offering? It's the best that he had, no doubt, and he worked very, very diligently throughout that growing season to produce good fruit and brought that fruit before the Lord. And he came first, and God didn't necessarily prompt him to bring that offering. That's something he wanted to do for God. And when he got there, God didn't accept it. What was wrong with it? It came from the ground. And what was wrong with the ground? It was cursed. It was cursed. And so a man that tries to bring something of the fruit of his labor from the cursed earth is not going to be accepted. Abel, on the other hand, brings the firstlings of his flock. What would that be? Didn't say. What was it? It'd be a lamb. And we know that. We studied that diligently when we looked at the skins that were covering Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. There's the Passover lamb. Lambs are offered in Leviticus as blood sacrifices. Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham goes to sacrifice Isaac, God shall provide himself a lamb. Now, how would Abel know to bring a lamb? How would he know that? Got any idea? The way he would know that is by what God had done to Adam and Eve. He saw that God didn't accept the fig leaves, cursed ground, man's efforts, but he saw that God accepted the bloodshed of a lamb and the skins that were produced from those to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve. And he says to himself, if I'm going to provide something, well, he was a shepherd for one thing. He was a keeper of sheep. So it would be natural for him to bring something of that, but he brings of the fat the best of those sheep, and he covers that thinking. He'd have to be thinking, if God did that to cover my parents, that's what would be used to cover me. And the one key difference between Cain's fruit of the ground and Abel's lamb is blood. That's the key difference. Blood. And what did it take from Jesus Christ? Blood. You see, that's why I grew up that I had to drink, or somebody at the service had to drink what had been turned into the blood of Jesus Christ in order for salvation to take place. Remember that? Many of you have experience with that. But you know what that came from? The fruit of the ground. And God wouldn't accept it. God wouldn't accept it. All right, so then he brings the first, and now notice it says here in verse 4, the firstlings of his flock. He only needed one. Why would he bring more than one? Why would he bring more than one to the sacrifice? Got any idea? Take a wild guess. For his brother. For his brother. And so when the Lord doesn't accept Cain's offering and Cain is wroth, the Lord says in verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. All he had to do was humble himself and turn to Abel and say, if you'll let me have one of those lambs, I can offer that. But who's going to accept a free gift when you want God to accept all your hard work? And therein lies the problem with religion. You know what's the problem with religion? Religion says, basically, I'm going to put forth my work here and show you how good I am. But the Bible says, for by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest what? Any man should boast. And when you can't puff out your chest and say, look how good I am and all this great stuff, and you got to humble yourself and go to your brother and borrow one of his lambs without cost and offer that for your sacrifice? No way. No way. And lots of folks don't want somebody else to tell them your religion doesn't work. You need to trust Jesus Christ's free gift for salvation. You ever heard anybody that you told that to that didn't want to hear it? Sure. All the time. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. That's not that difficult of a verse when you think about it. Here's the deal. If I do well, I am protected. I am protected by the sacrifice. When I come to the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation, I am now protected by his shed blood. I have salvation. And then it says, sin lieth at the door. Whenever I want to step out of the protection of my relationship in Jesus Christ like that, then sin's right there. Sin's right there to have me. You've experienced that, haven't you? You bet. And then he says, his desire shall be unto thee. Sin is not the least bit concerned with the walls in this building. You ever notice that? Sin's not concerned with that roof right there. It's not concerned with the lights. Sin's not concerned with that piano. Not concerned with that chair. But it's sure concerned with you. Paul said, I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And it woke up something inside of him. Sin revived, he said, and I died. Sin has one goal and one object, and that's to knock you down. God has a goal and an object for you after you get saved, and that's to keep you protected in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his object. So sin lieth at the door. His desire shall be unto thee, and thou shalt rule over him. You know what's wrong with that? I mean, not wrong, the Bible's right, but you know what's wrong with that as far as we're concerned? Thou shalt rule over him. What's wrong with that? It makes us accountable. Somebody said, Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it. Yeah, it's still your fault. Because you were supposed to take control. I would quit whatever sin, fill in the blank. I would quit whatever it is, but I just can't. That's the problem. You have been accountable by God to rule over that sin. Do you have the strength yourself to do it? No. So where are you going to get the strength to do it? Huh? From the Lord Jesus Christ. Which means you're going to have to be in a good relationship with him. And Abel was because his sacrifice was accepted. Cain wasn't because his wasn't. All right, what brewed up in Cain's heart? He talked with Abel, his brother, not about, hey, give me one of the sheep. You sorry, no good, blankety blank. I know you. You no different than I am. You came from the same parents that I did. Who do you think you are telling me that I need to have your type of sacrifice? And blam, he killed him. What was his motive? Huh? Jealousy? Envy? Same thing that motivated the Jews to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Envy. Same motive. Same motive. So now you got sort of an overview, clearer picture of what's really going on with these verses here. Now there's some great things here, and I've listed several of these for you. The first thing, look down in your little handout. Oh, there's about 1, 2, 3, fourth paragraph. It says assurance that Abel's sacrifice was accepted. The Bible didn't tell you how he knew that God had accepted his sacrifice. But I gave you 5 examples in there where God shows he's accepting sacrifices. And every one of those, look what he's doing. What's he doing? Huh? He's consuming the sacrifice by fire. Take any of those examples there. Leviticus 9:24 is the closest one. Just go over there and look at that. When God shows his approval, he consumes that thing by fire. Okay, look at Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24. And then I'm going to show you something that's interesting here. Well, it's all interesting. Leviticus 9:24. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed the altar, the burnt offering upon the altar, the burnt offering and the fat, which all the people saw. They shouted and fell on their faces. That's something the Lord did, and that thing happens over and over throughout the Bible. Now turn to Psalm 22, which isn't in your deal here. You can make the note yourself if you want to. Psalm 22, and notice what this psalm is about from some of the references that are in the Psalms. Psalm 22, and now look at verse 1. And the Bible says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What's that? That's Jesus on the cross. Look at verse 7. Psalm 22, look at verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head. That's what the Bible says when Jesus was hanging on the cross. They came up and wagged their head at him. Look at verse 16. For dogs, that's what the Lord thought about those guys, have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Now that one's clear, along with verse 1. Verse 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Man, that is the crucifixion. Now look at verse 14. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. You know what was going on in that sacrifice you couldn't see? What would melt wax? Heat, fire. The Lord came and prayed before his Father and said, if this cup can pass from me, but not my will, thy will be done. And God poured out his wrath on the Lord Jesus Christ for sin that day that he hung on the cross. Where did his soul go for 3 days and three nights? He went to hell. What's in hell? A consuming fire that cannot be quenched. So even the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ involved the fire that we see in these things that let Abel know that his sacrifice was accepted. You know what that gave Abel when he found out that his sacrifice was accepted? What did that give him? The word that starts with an A. Huh? Absolution. You're telling on your past, girl. He didn't go do penance after that. Look at the first word in that thing that I put out there, the italicized word, assurance. Assurance. You know the difference between going to the cross of Calvary and getting saved and practicing religion? You know what the difference is? Assurance. Assurance. Why? Because we know that God accepted the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and we receive him, I'll give you a verse on this. Look in Ephesians. Look at Ephesians. Chapter 1 and look at verse 6. We have something. We know something. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. We know something when we go to the cross and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. It'd be 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and so forth. Chapter 1 verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, what? Accepted in the Beloved. It's the same word that he used when he described the to Cain. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Yes. Yes, you shall be. Do you know something? Before I got saved, I never knew if I was accepted or not. I always went around feeling guilty. And always had to go to church to get the guilt off of me. Now I go to church to praise the one who got the guilt off of me. Big difference. I don't go to church to get to heaven. I go to church because I'm going to heaven. And I feel like it's the right place for people to go when they're going to heaven. Meet with the body of believers and encourage ourselves. Hey, folks, it won't be long now. I'll be seeing you on the other side. Amen, amen. And, you know, kind of get fired up about those things. All right? So that's how he knew. Now, the motives were totally different. You can read about those. But let's go on to something else here. Abel pictures Jesus Christ. And Cain pictures the Antichrist. That's the picture you see in these two guys. And I listed for you some things about how Abel pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Abel was a keeper of sheep, so was the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know that? He said he was the good shepherd in John chapter 10. It said he was the good shepherd. Both offered a lamb for a sacrifice. He offered the best that he had, and what did Jesus Christ offer? Himself, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. All right, both were hated by their brothers. Did you know that about Jesus Christ? He came into his own received him not. He said, if they hate you, they hated me first. And he was hated by the Jews. You know, right now, you know what the Jews need? I'm talking about right now, 2001, in the month of October, and the date is, what's the 21st? You know what the Jews need right now more than anything else? They need a nation who knows about Jesus Christ to be able to go over there and befriend them and say, you know what, you could solve a lot of your trouble if you would just take your eyes off of yourselves and your self-righteousness and turn them on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, but they hate him today. They don't have a New Testament. Their Bible ends with 2 Chronicles. That's strange. You would think after many millions of their people that have been beat down and persecuted and killed, that they would finally just say, you know what? We are going to take our God, and our God is the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to do it eventually anyway. That's just a hard thing for me to imagine. As good as Jesus Christ has been to us, it's hard to imagine. He came to them and they said, out, we'll kill you, and out, get out of here. They'll take him one of these days, thank God. Okay, they were both killed for envy. Both were murdered. Both of their murderers were punished. We know that about Cain. Look here in Genesis chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Genesis chapter 4, look at verse 11. Now art thou cursed from the earth. Isn't that a horrible thing? Now art thou cursed from the earth. All right, and then notice this about the Jews. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. I didn't mark it in your little handout, but you can mark it. 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 2. And look at verse 14 for the context. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 14, right there at the end, even as you have of the Jews, notice that. Then verse 15, that's just for the context, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, have persecuted us, and have they pleased not God, or contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for what? The wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. And so if you ever have to ask yourself a reason why things happen to that nation the way they do, it has all to do with Jesus Christ. And then notice this. Cain is a type of the Antichrist, and then notice Abel is in the line of Christ, and the line of Christ in your little handout is all shepherds. I didn't give you the verses there, but you can look them up. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Moses, David, and Jesus Christ were all shepherds. But look at this deal on the line of the Antichrist. In the last little section of your hand out there, Cain is in the line of the Antichrist. He's in the bad line of what are called iron men. His name, sometimes it's helpful, not always, but sometimes it's helpful to go back in and look at what the Hebrew definition of a name is, because what's Cain? Iron spear. And they pierced the Lord's side with a iron spear, and that thing is called the spear of Longinus. And they say, I haven't confirmed all this, but I mean, what I've read in books indicates that it's so, that Napoleon had that spear when he tried to take over the world, and so did Hitler. And that spear is still around, and people who have spiritual awareness, I don't put myself in that category, but people who are sensitive to, you know, a good spirit or a bad spirit in a place, They say they passed by that sphere and looked at that thing, and he said, there's just something on that thing. He said, you can feel it just like there's an electric current flowing off of it. And so some people say whoever has possession of that sphere, see, is a type of the Antichrist. Be interesting to see who gets possession of it during the tribulation as just a thought. But you can study those things that I put for you in your list there. Og, king of Bashan, had an iron bed. And he was killed when Moses and the Jews went up through the east side of the Jordan River. Og and Sihon, king of the Amorites, they were killed when they attacked the Jews. The land of Egypt is called the iron furnace. I gave you the reference there. When God's describing murderers in the Bible, in Numbers chapter 35, he says if a guy hits another man with an iron, he didn't call it an implement. What did he call that thing in Numbers 35? Hits him with iron, though. Numbers 35, verse 16. If he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. What about Goliath? What do you have? Yeah, 1 Samuel 17. He had an iron. Look at it. 1 Samuel 17, 7. You know, when the Bible does this for you and gives you this information in there, it's for a reason. When the Lord lays down something like Cain and Abel, he gives 8 verses to it in the front of the Bible. He is trying to show you a wealth of information stuff coming forward about two classes of people, leading to some very significant things. 1 Samuel 17, 7. His spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. You know the one implement that they didn't want to hear? The one tool they didn't want to hear at work when Solomon was building the temple? Iron. They didn't want to hear iron, so they didn't have any hammers and stuff going on over there. Iron's bad, see? What do you have trouble with when you get older? Iron poor blood. Iron poor blood. And you know what's associated with nearly every disease you have by the time you die? Blood. There's something wrong with the blood. The blood is the life of the flesh, but it plays out and we die. We die. And the blood flows in our bodies, and the tainting in that blood, it came as a result of a sin that came to Adam and Eve because of a temptation by the devil. And it concerns iron in many respects. Then I'll show you this last little thing here in Daniel chapter 2, just a little bit of a eye-opener. I promise I won't chasten you if you go to the movies. But I want to ask you a question. How many of you all have seen a video or been to the movies in the last couple of years? Okay, oh, the whole place. Well, bless God, I'm going to get on you now. You're getting all your religion. Yeah, right, that's next. No, I'm just kidding you. Have you seen anything that deals with iron men in any of the movies? Yeah, have you? Have you? That's what that is a foretelling of what you're getting ready to read right here, Daniel chapter 2. Now, this is the image that Nebuchadnezzar sees in a dream, and then Daniel interprets the dream for him and tells him about the image in Daniel chapter 2. And notice the last kingdom that gets dealt with on this image. It starts with Nebuchadnezzar's head of gold and goes down to silver arms and brass torso and then iron legs. And then watch this thing here in verse 40. The fourth kingdom should be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. You know what's interesting? There's a religion now, a lot of people say, that would be associated with the Antichrist. They say it's Rome. I tend to believe that. But you know where it came from? Egypt. The progress of the stuff in Rome came out of Alexandria, Egypt. That's where the school of higher criticism was, and Egypt is where a lot of that false worship came from. And it all came from into Egypt out of Babylon, and that's why it's referred to as Mystery Babylon. From lots of scripture, won't go all that way, but anyway, notice Egypt was called the iron furnace, and the last kingdom is an iron kingdom. As iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Verse 41, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. You know, you're made out of clay. You're dirt. You're a dirt bag. That's a, so am I. But you knew that. There shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, the toes are kings, and there's 10 of them, and they're part man and part iron. And you've been seeing that in the movies. Terminator? Anybody see that movie? Was it part man, part iron? Huh? Yeah. Shall the God of heaven set up an image, a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So Jesus Christ comes and wipes out that whole thing. That deal right there, iron, is connected with the 10 kings that rule with the Antichrist in the book of Revelation. You know, he had 10 horns on the dragon? There they are right there, and they are 10 toes on this image. So we say head to toe. Bad from head to toe. Anyway, that all comes from looking at the typology that started with Cain. And who was Cain after? Abel. And who is the devil after? Jesus Christ and his people. Well, I went through that sort of briefly and sort of rapidly, but there's just so much great information. Take that thing home and really study that stuff out. There's great stuff in there. Father, we're thankful today to have a chance to study your word. Now allow us to enjoy some brief fellowship together and get to meet these couple of folks that have come to be with us today. And Father, we pray that they'll enjoy fellowship with us as we get ready for the preaching. For Jesus' sake, amen.